This is Mod Love, the show that tackles dating, mating, and relating in the modern world with your host, premier dating mentor and coach, Jody Riley, and her partner from Straight Talk with Steve, Stephen Cardinal. Also featuring Ann Wade, our soulmate expert from soulmatedance.com.
Welcome, everyone. This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And you are listening to
Mod Love.
I still love the way you do that.
Thank you, darling.
But thanks so much for joining us tonight, guys, or downloading us, however you've gotten there. You might be listening to us on Kinetic Hi-Fi Live, or you might have downloaded us from modloveradio.com, however you got us.
We might still be on, we're still on Bandit Radio FM,
yes,
too,
that's
right?
True,
so
that's
we're also
right.
Live on Bandit Radio FM. So, hello out there.
And so however you got here, thank you for listening. We think we have a pretty good show tonight. We're it's a little bit of a somber mood here where we're at this week. We've had a little bit of a tragedy here, and I can't speak tonight.
Yeah, there's a tragic shooting last week, and there's been a lot of memorials and conferences and just people getting together and doing really wonderful things with each other. And it's been heartwarming to see the response to such a horrible event. It's taken a lot out of the people, but it's put a lot into the people as well. There, people seem a bit more energized than ever before about trying to hopefully start addressing some of the many issues that we have as far as race relationships and hatred and stuff like that.
Yeah. And that actually, what happened here in Charleston this week actually kind of prompted what we're going to talk about in our feature segment tonight. Because what you see is a lot of times when bad things happen, like happened here this week, or when somebody goes through a bad breakup, or, you know, something bad happens in the relationship, a lot of times we get mired and almost stuck in asking why it happened. And sometimes the getting mired down in the why sometimes keeps us from being able to move on. We get so caught up in trying to figure out what caused it that we don't actually move on from it. So I'm going to share a little bit of insight from a mentor that I used to have back when I was in college. I used to work for a marriage and family therapist. So I'm going to share a little bit of his insight and some of his wisdom that he imparted to me back when I was learning how to be a counselor and learning how to be a therapist. And we're going to talk about, you know, why we get so stuck in that sometimes and what to do to move on. So I think
that's probably better than the philosopher I listened to, which was Bud Dry. Why ask why? Drink Bud Dry.
Yes, I'm sure Dr. Thorson was much better.
I don't even know if Bud Dry is even made anymore, but we are not sponsored by Anheuser-Busch or Budweiser.
No.
Or Bud Dry specifically, so no.
However, Meetup.com and New Belgian, which makes Fat Tire, needs to, because we're generally drinking some Fat Tire and talking about Meetup.com. So if any one of you want to sponsor us, go right ahead. But we also have a fun little article that we found about this young man out in China who wound up with a few too many girlfriends.
He was the rooster in a very large hen house, apparently.
And we have a listener question tonight. And can you read that? Because I can't read that off.
Sure.
Oh,
you want to give it away already?
Well,
about what
you
the
can tell me what it's
be?
About because I can't. I can't see
it's just
it.
About do you wait on changing yourself to attract someone, or do you just kind of wait to attract someone for you who's right for you exactly as you are now?
Yeah, this was actually prompted by a conversation that I was having with someone recently about, you know, when do you know if you should change yourself or not? And so we'll talk a little bit about that, and I'll kind of give you some insight on as to what I said to this person who asked the question. And then in our final segment, we're actually going to talk about handling upsets and triggers and tricky situations when you're in a relationship. And we're going to be talking about an article that was written by Susie and Otto Collins, which they are writers. They contribute to the Soulmate Dance. And they actually recently released this particular article on, and they talk, what I liked about it was they talk about a specific incident that happened within their relationship. They're a married couple, and they're kind of like us. Their business is around helping other couples stay together, and so they talk a lot about, you know, what they do in their own relationship to kind of keep it going. And they actually, this article was talking about an issue that they had in their own relationship, so I thought that was pretty great. So we'll talk about, you know, basically how to deal with some of those things that come up in a relationship when you really just want to tear somebody's head off.
Sounds like a plan. And I'm going to talk a little bit about pride when it comes to Straight Talk with Steve.
Oh, fantastic. That's right, because you told me about that earlier this week. I think you did, yeah.
Right.
So Fantastic. Well, let's go ahead and jump into that article here and find out about what the poor dude in China was having an issue with.
So, yeah. So, this young man in Hunan province, named Yuan, Y-U-A-N. I am horrible. It's a relatively popular name.
They call him the Young Romeo. We'll call him the Young Romeo,
but I should probably know some of these more popular names better because, you know, the world is getting smaller, right? Anyway, this gentleman, a young man, had gotten into a car accident and ended up in the hospital. So the doctors contacted his relatives, and apparently 17 girlfriends all showed up, none of them being aware that the other ones existed. So one of them, she said, you know, she had been with him for a year and a half. And first she was really upset when she got to the hospital because he'd had an accident. Then all these other girls start showing up, and he says, beautiful girls. She really just couldn't cry anymore. Another woman, he has a baby with her, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Right. And let's see. She said, and this other, then there's another girlfriend who thought he was her Mr. Right, and they had already started to plan a wedding.
Wow.
Know, out on social media, of course, you have this whole, the difference of how we treat men and how we treat women, right? A man who has a bunch of girlfriends is treated as the cock of the walk, whereas a woman, who if she had 17 boyfriends,
she'd be a slut.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And we don't, you know, support either of those. However, they've gotten like 6,000 comments on social media, a lot of admiration for the man, a lot for the women saying that they should have been smarter and discovered the deceit. Obviously, the guy was good at hiding what it was. So it's... We don't know all the details of how he did it so that he could, you know, hide from these women. So I don't know if they could have known about it or not.
The thing about you should have known, that's just a shaming technique. Not only do we do it to other people, but we do it to ourselves, and that's never appropriate. Now, a lot of times we will look past things and we won't question things, especially when we really care about somebody. And maybe that's something that each of these girls needs to look at within themselves. Was there something that they looked past? Were they not, you know, as diligent about asking the follow-up question or whatever, you know? And that's just something each of them is going to have to answer for themselves. So we should never shame somebody because none of us are Dion, and we ain't your psychic friend.
Exactly. And you don't know, I mean, look at Catch Me If You Can.
Frank Abagnale.
Frank. He actually lives here in the area, and they actually recently just did that play over at Dock Street, and he showed up there. And I mean, he's making a great living now that he's out of jail, helping other businesses avoid being scammed the way he used to scam them. But some people are just very good at that social engineering, you know, not giving off those little red flags that most of us should probably be able to get without any specific training, just kind of growing up. There are certain red flags that we're all pretty good at getting. Some people are just good, I think, at masking those and not showing them off. So the guy may have just been very good at hiding it. So instead of, shaming these girls that they should have known better, first of all, they're all hurting right now and trying to deal with that. So they really don't need more crap piled on them.
Exactly. And they're all embarrassed, you know.
But you just don't know the situation. So, you know, well, judge now, not lest ye
as a man, answer me this. How in God's name do you juggle 17 women? I mean, some men can't juggle one.
Right? Yeah. These were
young women in their 20s. I mean, this is not even like stable or older women who kind of got it. These were like younger women who probably were just handfuls, I would say.
I think like Frank Abagnale, I think this guy's going to have to teach a class.
I think he is.
I'm not sure he can go to jail for what he did over in China. I don't know what China's rules are as far as dating and whatnot. But he can easily teach a class on how to juggle 17 women at the same time and obviously impregnate one or more of them.
And what did this guy do for a living?
A couple other ones. Right.
Because, I mean, was he ever working?
how is that possible? So, I mean, he's a young... Well, for me, anyway, I don't... You know, Chinese people always tend to look young to me. I've worked with a couple guys, and I'm always like, come on, you guys are like 35 or something like that. No, I'm 52. I'm 58. I can't see the age. I don't think age necessarily sits on an Asian face the same way it sits on a Caucasian face.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
You know, and so a lot of times I just can't see that. Yeah. Right. So, you know, this person may certainly be older than, you know, I'm getting out of the picture, but
That's me. What I was basing on the fact that these were probably younger girls too.
Right.
Because so, he looks so young.
We don't exactly know, but 17 Juliets he had, but they just keep calling him a young Romeo.
So any of you guys out there, you got any insight on how to juggle 17 women? Good grief. Or if you've experienced, if anybody out there has experienced something like that, write us and tell us.
Yeah, we'd love to hear.
Yeah, info@modloveradio.com. Right? Yeah. info@modloveradio.com. Write us. Tell us how that worked, and tell us if you were, you know, the person that was actually dating more than, were 17 people?
Right. Because, I mean, we know some people who have, you know, done the polyamory sort of thing, but never with that quantity of people.
God, no.
I think even the, and I know it's not strict, the strictly Mormon ones, it's an offshoot of Mormons who do the multiple wives. But even them, I think, you know, 5 or 6, they start again, hey, this is enough. You know, 17, whoa.
He was spreading it around.
Holy macanoli.
All right, let's get to that listener question there.
All right, so the listener question is, how do you know when to wait for someone like yourself versus changing something about yourself to attract someone?
So I was having a conversation with somebody recently, and so this was not actually something that somebody wrote into us. This was something that came up in conversation with a person that I was talking to recently. And what we were talking about basically was that this person was looking for certain signs that someone was into her. And she said to me, but if this guy's right for me, wouldn't he have all of this? Wouldn't he have these signs? Wouldn't he know that I like to go dancing? Wouldn't he also have these same values and these same interests that I have? And my answer back to her was, well, he may have those interests, but if you don't tell him that you have them, you guys are missing each other. You know, you need to have the conversation.
Yeah, it's the fear of actually communicating, because that's a little bit harder. So you just kind of hope the other person knows exactly what you're thinking to get yourself off the hook of actually doing some work. And
right.
I don't know how well that's going to work for relationships or work.
Right.
Right. I mean, if you want a relationship that is no work, you know, hell, get a puppy and you're going to find out even that's work. It's not, it's just picking up poop and you know, stuff, but there's still some amount of work there with a human being, with all the stuff that you want to get out of a relationship. That's even more work. And to try to go the lazy way, you're right, you may have a hard time finding the right person for you if you're only looking for the lazy way.
So the question came back to me was, well, but isn't that me changing who I am in order to fit this other person? And I said, well, how you know that is if this particular behavior that you have, in this case, not communicating, is not working well for you, do you want to continue to do it?
Right.
If it's not working, maybe you need to change it. Now, you don't have to. Absolutely. You can sit and wait till somebody comes and knows exactly everything you like to do and they intuitively know. Absolutely, you can sit and wait for that. You might have to wait a long time.
You might be on your deathbed when they suddenly know, oh, he wants some oxygen. And so it comes over and turns the machine on. Boy, yeah, thank you.
But,
too late.
And the pool of people that are going to be able to intuit that about you might be very small.
Yeah, they probably work in Vegas.
Or, yeah, the magic shows.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. David Copperfield. Right. You got to date David Copperfield.
Everyone has to date David Copperfield because he already knows what you're thinking.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, to me, I think it's a mistake to think of it as I'm changing myself for somebody else. Look, ain't none of us perfect. There's always things in ourselves that we can be working on. So if we work on things that are just improving ourselves, yes, we're going to change. If you're just accepting yourself, I am perfect the way I am, you're not growing. And that is going to limit, I think, the people who will be attracted to you, because I think most people are looking for people who are going to continue to grow. If you're going to spend another 20, 30, depending on how old you are, 40, 50 years with somebody, do you think they want a stagnant relationship where you're going to be exactly the same, just older and wrinklier? No, they want to see they're going to be growing. And I think the person you're looking for is probably going to have some personal growth that they're going to be doing. They're going to want to see the same thing in you. So to me, it's not, am I going to change myself for somebody else? I'm going to change myself for me and keep making myself a better person, working on the things that I'm not all that pleased about myself. And that will help you attract more different people.
Absolutely. Now, when I tell people the things I tell people not to change about themselves are, what are those core values that you have? You know, if you are a staunch, let's just say Christian, and you want to date someone who's Christian, it might not behoove you to try to date outside of that, because that might be changing a value that's a little too hard for you to change.
Right. And I don't think that's what, right. That is not what I would be suggesting, certainly. No, it's more along the lines of
a behavior or a way of thinking.
You know, for instance, I cannot stand to use a telephone, especially a cell phone. If I decided, so I know that is something that's on me. If I decided that, you know, the people that I love, operators. Do we have operators anymore? I don't know.
No.
But let's say there was someone I was really attracted to, but she hated being texted to. She really wanted to be called. That would be on me to say, do I want to address this issue of mine, which is my issue? I don't like to talk on cell phone. Well, the problem is actually the cell phone companies, the companies that make these pieces of crap that are such horrible communication devices. But is it going to be important enough to me to work on myself to overcome that disdain for talking on a phone? Because if so, then I will work on it. If that's really, no, I am not doing that. I'm not approaching that, even though it's my thing. I got five other things in queue before that one. Then, yeah, the person who really wants to be called rather than texted or just met in person, because I love talking in person or even in a microphone like this, but on a phone, not so much. You know, that's on me to kind of decide, am I willing to do that? But also that means I'm going to be narrowing my pool, because there will be people who maybe aside from the phone thing would be a very good match for me, but I'm just not willing to do that. So there's all sorts of things in our lives, I think, that we can say, do I want to work on this now because it will open up some possibilities, or am I willing to say, no, I don't want to work on it. I want to work on some other things. If you're going to say, I don't want to work on anything at all, I just want to be me exactly as I am, you're going to limit yourself there too, because that shows to the other person, A, you may think you're perfect and ain't none of us perfect, as I said, or that you just have no desire to change and to grow. And that's not particularly attractive to most people.
Yeah. And especially if you're looking for somebody who's a little bit more into personal growth and that sort of thing, they're not going to be attracted to that at all. So if you want somebody else who wants to grow, but you don't want to grow, that's not going to be, So.
Right. So if you're thinking your perfect match is someone who listens to like a show like this, which we are talking about personal development, they're not going to be particularly interested in you if you're only listening because you want to hear if I'm going to make a dick joke. Right.
Exactly.
Because this is not real good comedy, all right?
It's a little good comedy.
There's a little bit of comedy.
Not a lot
it's
of good
lighthearted,
comedy.
But I would not call this a comedy show.
No, not at all. So,
but if you want a comedy show, check out It's About Time, the travel agency that cares.
And we'll get you out of your own time zone.
We'll get you out of your time.
So with that, I think we're going to have to move on to straight talk, talking
a little bit about
pride.
There's something going round that doesn't let me feel at ease. It's creeping like the plague. It's going to bring me down to my knees.
There is a lot in the media right now that seems to be so pride related. And I don't know how these things kind of pop up and all of a sudden it's like it's everywhere. But there was a question online that I saw. Someone was asking about why a particular person would absolutely refuse to admit that they were wrong and apologize about something. Pride. There is, well, Tom Brady is going before the commissioner, I think, today or tomorrow, or, well, by the time you hear this, he's probably already been done. And all the Patriots fan, which I used to be one, are still all absolutely sure he did absolutely nothing wrong, despite all the evidence and everything else. And they will look for any hole in the theory so that they can be absolutely in the right. Why are they continuing to defend the team and the league and all this other stuff? Pride, because they put pride of themselves into this team. And of course, we have the whole Confederate flag issue going on and why people are defending this when so many people are actually bothered by it. Again, it's a pride thing. So we're dealing with issues where we're not able to have compassion or sympathy or empathy with other people because we're refusing ourselves to do so because of our pride. So we're refusing to look at the facts in the case of Deflategate to say that there was a problem there. And to me, I think the problem is at the league level and not necessarily at the team level. but I need to do something about, you know, and something needs to be done about it. With the whole flag thing, the people who are demanding, no, it's not about hate, it's not about racism, it's about heritage. That's a pride in the past, which to me is kind of worrisome, that because we should be kind of more proud about where we are right now or what we can do right now going into the future, rather than having pride in something that different people who aren't even alive anymore did in a different world that we can't even really feel anymore. And when it comes to actually apologizing for things in our lives, I mean, that can be so difficult because some of us have so much pride in ourselves that we can't ever admit to being wrong. So a lot of things, if you look at the media right now, and a lot of the fighting that's going on between the conservatives and the liberals and the Southerners and the Northerners and the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Patriots and the rest of the league and everything else, where you kind of stand on that, a lot of that comes down to your pride rather than the facts, rather than a reasonable assessment of the situation. And that's when, you know, things get hot, things get tense, and it really behooves us to take a look when these things arise in ourselves, where we get angry that someone said something nasty about our flag or said something nasty about Tom Brady or said something nasty about the work that we did. And you get that initial flush of anger and resentment to recognize that, wait a minute, all right, that's my pride coming up there. Every major religion talks about how our pride is one of the biggest things that is prevents, you know, love and happiness and peace in this world. And to notice when that's arising and to kind of step away from it and let it kind of flow and flow out of you, and then look at the situation rationally and kind of figure out, where do you really stand? And I think that's not being necessarily done. The media certainly isn't encouraging that sort of thing. And that's kind of why we're here, to try to encourage that sort of thing. So my message today for Straight Talk with Steve is to recognize when your pride is getting in your way of progress, of change, of making things better for yourself and the people around you, and to start doing something about it, to take that step back, take that deep breath, and then say, all right, how can we move forward to a better place rather than holding on to past happenings? And that is Straight Talk with Steve. It seems my stupid mouth is gonna get me into trouble again. My charm has set the trap. He's reaching for the shovel, says he's digging my grave. But the more I try. Fantastic. Well, with that, we're gonna have to take a quick little break. When we come back, we're gonna explore a little bit about why we get so stuck in asking why when bad stuff happens. So don't go away. You are listening to Mod Love.
Hi, Jody here from Mod Love. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I just wanted to remind you all to visit our website at modloveradio.com. You'll notice that on our homepage, on the right-hand side, there's a blue box. If you put your information in there, we will send you some free goodies. And while you're there, you can also watch videos, listen to episodes, subscribe to the show, or even check out our gallery of expert guests. You can also search for articles and send us your questions. Again, that web address is modloveradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and thanks for listening to Mod Love. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Jody Riley and my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And we are with Mod Love. I totally like flubbed that up, but that's all right.
Okay. We'll just keep going. We're still
with Mod Love. We're still with Mod Love.
Well, we're in segment two right now, so we're going to get to this topic of asking why when bad things happen.
So as I talked a little bit about in the first segment, I had a marriage and family therapist that I interned for when I was in college. And it started out as an internship through a class that I was taking. And then he actually hired me later on to run his office, to do all the billing and everything. And then eventually he started training me how, as I, you know, progressed through and you know, got my degree, started training me how to do counseling and how to run groups and how to facilitate and stuff like that. So I got hands on one-to-one mentoring from a guy that had been a therapist for a really long time. So I learned a lot of really valuable lessons because there was nobody in there but me. I mean, I got all of his attention. So it was fantastic. And one of the things he said to me once, after he had had this session with a family, and he would have me sometimes sit in and take notes in the sessions. And he said to me, he said, you know, this couple are very stuck in the why. They want to know why about everything. And he said, the thing about knowing why, he said, knowing why sometimes is fabulous. But the thing about why is that really all it is awareness. Just knowing why something happened or why someone is the way they are or whatever doesn't really change anything. So all the stuff we have, you know, we've been talking about the shootings here in Charleston. Everybody wants to know why. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? And what Dr. Thorson would say is the question that we should be asking is, what now? What next? Because the why, sometimes you're never going to know why. I mean, and if you think about it, I mean, there's people, we go through divorces and we go through relationship breakups. Sometimes we don't get closure. We never know why that relationship ended. I know I've been through relationships like that. I'm assuming
yes,
you've
definitely.
Had that happen.
And sometimes even when they tell you, you don't really accept it. Right?
Or understand
so, right.
it.
Or
You're
understand
just like,
it. It's like, what? That's, why would you do it for that? But so a lot of times people won't even bother trying to give you a why. But even if this kid, you know, sits in front of the microphone and says, I did it because my dad told me this when I was growing up, and then this happened to me that reinforced it, and then this other thing happened to me, and that's why I felt that this was the right thing to do. People are going to look at that and say, that's it? Bad things like
that's
that happen to people all the time
happened.
And don't
yes.
make that
yes.
decision to go and do that sort of thing. So it's not ever going to be something that you can just say, oh, that's why. It's not going to make sense because it's
right.
this completely senseless act.
Right. And sometimes, like I said, most of the time, why doesn't really get you anywhere. There was a woman that back when, before I was doing a lot of dating coaching, I focused mostly on happiness coaching. And I was working with this woman who, her big issue was finances. And she just could not get a handle on her finances. And it was just, she was depressed because she had all this credit card debt and she just couldn't get herself out. And she kept saying, I want to know why I'm like this. Why, you know, who did I learn all of this from? And so as we talked a little more, and I kept trying to get her off of the why. It's like the why is not really all that important. She was very stuck in it. And so eventually she said, you know what? I remember when I was growing up, every time something went bad, my mother would go shopping. My mother would go buy all this stuff. She would go do all this stuff. And she said, and we were always constantly, every time something went bad, it was just go buy new things. She said, so that's why I do it. That's, you know, and so we worked on it and we worked and we kind of kept going. And then she still was having a difficult time getting, you know, but I do it because my mom did it. And I said to her, what does that get you? What does that knowledge get you? And she's like, well, what do you mean? It's like, what does the knowledge of where you got this habit from get you? But it tells me why. What does that get you?
Right. But does it make you happier now that yes. are you able to not do it anymore?
Are you not
you
doing
it?
No, what works is saying, okay, now what? What right. do I do differently? That's what works. And so I think we have to take this tragedy here in South Carolina, just like we have to do with our relationships and things. Instead of focusing so much on wanting to know why something happened, let's focus on what do we do next? What now?
Right.
And for her, I eventually had to point out to her that you're taking this one person who treated their finances and you know, in a certain way, but how many other people around you did you have access to every day that didn't do that? You're choosing that one.
Right.
So stop choosing that. And once she realized that, it was like, oh, okay. I'm going to have to do something. Yes, it doesn't matter that your mama did it this way.
Right, because yeah, there were always other examples around you. And you know, we hear that about you know people who, let's say, grow up in a crime-ridden neighborhood and you know their older brother was always getting in trouble, so he's going to be you know getting into trouble too. And yet he wasn't completely surrounded by troublemakers. There were also the good kids who, for whatever reason or other, he chose not to be with them. And at some point you have to make that decision that and not just use it as an excuse. Well, no, I'm the way I am because my brother was, a troublemaker too. So I'm going to be a troublemaker as well. And at some point you have to make that choice of that's not what I want to do. That's right. Not going to serve me well. I need to make some changes.
Yeah. And I think it's just, again, it's, you will very rarely hear me when I'm speaking to someone ask them why. You know, they tell me they did something and to ask them why. A lot of times what I will ask is, what were you thinking when you did that? Because that's more important than, well, why did you do it? Some people may say, well, I did it because I, you know, my mom told me to, or my mom did it this way. What were you thinking when you did that, mm-hmm. rather than why did you do it? Because that makes them have to go back and go, well, what was I thinking? Well, maybe I wasn't thinking. Maybe I was just acting, you know, out of habit or whatever. But I think if we kind of, you know, get rid of the word why, get rid of that question and ask ourselves a different question that gets us to a place where we can actually move on. And I think in this case, especially with whatever's going on.
So you're saying Anheuser-Busch was right. Why ask why?
Why ask why?
There you go.
There you go. I wouldn't necessarily say drink Bud Dry because that's nasty.
No, I drank my share of it back when I was 21.
Because that's what you can afford at 21.
God, almost 28 years ago.
Yeah, that's...
Good Lord.
Well, you know, and I think that a lot of us drank the cheap stuff back then because it was cheap.
That's what we could afford.
Exactly. So takeaway from this segment is, rather than always asking why, ask yourself what next. Ask yourself the hard questions of what are you going to do to move on from whatever the situation is. If it's a relationship, rather than trying to figure out what went wrong, what do I need to do now to move past it?
You know? And I like that, thinking about what were you actually thinking at the time? Because, you know, I've certainly done things like I talked about a little bit in Straight Talk where you get that arising of, you know, here's how I'm feeling. So here's what I did for it. But then trying to, if you're going to do that mindfulness of stepping back and saying, all right, where did that come from? Why did that happen? But what was I thinking? I think is probably the more appropriate, because the why could be, why did I do that? Because I'm a Patriots fan.
Exactly.
You know, and they deserve that. No, what was I thinking? You know, I was thinking that if I come out and say that, you know, the Patriots did something wrong there, that somehow because I had been rooting for them for years, that people will say, you're a bad person. You know, I've linked my identity to something that has absolutely nothing to do with me except fandom. And now, again, that pride thing coming up. And so recognizing, here's what I was really thinking of that. What are other people going to think about me if I suddenly, you know, admit that, you know, my team did something wrong, or that my flag is being, you know, represented by people around me in a hateful way, or just that, you know, this flag is hurtful to a bunch of people and I don't really want to see those people hurt. So maybe I should sacrifice, you know, that to make a step forward. And it's like a peace offering. It's not a, you know, going to fix everything. But I'm digressing off of the asking why and back onto the whole flag situation around here. But I think that's, what was I thinking?
It's a better, much better question to ask.
Right.
Exactly. So with that, we're going to have to take another quick little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Susie and Otto's article on how to handle upsets, triggers, and tricky situations when you're in a relationship. So don't go away. You are listening to
Mod Love. This is Stephen Cardinal of Mod Love, and if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to head out to iTunes and leave us a review. Doing so will really help us reach more people and touch more lives. And if you're not an iTunes user, even a review on our Facebook page will go a long way in showing your support. Thanks a lot, and thanks for listening to Mod Love.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And you are listening to
Mod Love.
You might be listening to us on Kinetic Hi-Fi or Bandit Radio FM, or you might have downloaded us off of modloveradio.com. But however you got here, thanks so much for joining us. Of course, we're in our final segment here. And as I mentioned a little earlier, we're going to be talking about an article that was written by Susie and Otto Collins. And they're a married couple, and they work with other couples to try to heal their relationship wounds. And they're actually writers for Soulmate Dance. And I thought this was a fantastic article because they actually were talking about an issue with in their own relationship. And you and I talk a lot about that on the show, about stuff that goes on in our relationship.
Right. Because we don't know that much about what's going on in theirs.
So no, we don't.
We have to talk about somebody's.
And so we got to talk about somebody's.
Ours is kind of an open book to ourselves.
So
comic book.
But Susie was talking about a time when she was having trouble with her computer, and she realized that she thought she had lost some data, and she wasn't sure if she was going to be able to get it back.
But the trick is, it had been giving her problems before that.
Yes, and
her husband had been kind of suggesting, you need to do something, you need to do something. She hadn't done something. So when it died, you know, part of it was she was very frustrated because this thing was dead, but part of it was, oh no, here comes the I told you so.
Yeah, and I should have backed it up, and I should have got a new computer or whatever it was. And now I don't want to have to go back and tell him I didn't do this. And
I so don't it goes, like it that yes, he was right.
I don't like, and that goes back to what we were just talking about, the thought process. What was I thinking?
Right.
She did a fantastic job of that in
right.
this.
Yes.
You know, she went back and looked at, okay, here's what I'm feeling right now. So what am I thinking that's making me feel this, you know, about to get really upset? And then come to find out that her husband had been in there either the night before or a few minutes before, whatever, and actually accidentally unplugged the computer. So it wasn't that the computer had died and she lost everything. It was that he had accidentally unplugged it and all of her data was there, everything was salvageable, and it was all okay. However, it could have very easily spiraled into a huge, you know, knockdown drag out because she could have got mired in that place of, I'm prideful, I don't want to have to admit that I should have done this and I don't want you to be right, but I'm going to yell at you because, you know, could have been ugly.
Right. But it sounds like, though, because, you know, obviously there was a happy ending because the computer ended up not being damaged. And you could say, well, they kind of got lucky because if it was actually damaged, that fight would have happened. But it seemed to me the thought process she had going on that she documented here was such that, no, even before they had that kind of moment of relief that, whew, it was just unplugged, she had already kind of dispersed those angry feelings because
right.
she had stopped and done that whole, all right, why am I getting upset? Where's my pride kicking in here about, you know,
where's this feeling
being
coming
right,
from?
Where's all this stuff coming from? So that when they did kind of meet up, and we've had them on the show once before, and what I've read from them, I'm not sure he actually would have done an I told you so anyway. But you can certainly get that into your head.
Oh, because
you kind of know you deserve it, right?
Yeah.
Because you have been ignoring it. The advice was there. It was well-meant advice, but you chose not to follow it. And so you kind of really know, I deserve a I told you so. And whether or not that person will actually give it to you, you've already given it to yourself on his behalf or
And
her
how many
behalf.
Times have you had these conversations in your head with other people that what you think they're going to say to you, and then you say something back, and and pretty soon you're having this whole imaginary argument with somebody in your head before it ever even happens? I can't tell you how many times I've done that.
Before it actually never even happens.
Yes.
Because it never actually happens
never,
that way. You have
happens.
It all on your own, and it never really happens because you have this fantasy world that goes on in your head where you make all these things up. You jump to conclusions. You typically will make things out to be the worst that they could possibly be, which is nowhere near what reality hardly ever is. And yeah, and then when, you know, it's like the reverse of that. Someone says something to you and an hour later you come up with a perfect comeback. And you're like,
yes.
Oh, I so wish I had said this, this, and this. This is like the opposite. You're coming up with all the perfect comebacks and the situation before it ever really could possibly happen, and it never does end up happening. So you've wasted all this time.
Yes.
Thinking, all right, this is going to happen, and I'm going to say this, and this she's going to say that. It's like, you know, going into a job interview. All right, they're going to ask me this, and here's what I'm going to say back. Then I'm going to ask this, and here's what answer they're going to give back. But I'll be ready for that. And that's fine for a little bit of prep, but 99% of all that stuff will never actually happen.
Exactly.
And the 99% of stuff that does happen, which you never thought of, you just got to deal with it. And that's kind of life itself.
Yeah, you just go with the flow. But she did have some really good pointers here of what you can do. And I cannot read those, so you're going to have to
read
them for me.
They are tiny font. Even I have to squint a little bit. But here's how you can handle this when you're triggered and really bothered by something, how to handle it with love and grace. Recognize that your thoughts are just thoughts and may or may not have any truth to them.
Absolutely. I mean, in fact, the spiritual path that I kind of follow, Course in Miracles, one of the things that it always has you ask yourself is this real? Is this real? And if it's not real, don't go down the path.
Right. Number two, take a breath, calm yourself, and don't act from your angry, triggered place inside you. And for some people, that may mean counting to 10. You know, engage the other part of your brain. That's the logical side to take some of the energy away from that emotional side. Because your emotions are fine, but you don't want to then be reacting in that emotional state. Because
right.
That's not really what they're good at.
And interestingly enough, it's people sometimes that have a difficult time with this, will defend their right to have emotions. It's like, it's not having your emotions. It's just not reacting and making decisions based on
right.
them.
Yep. Have them, feel them. I mean, that's what we have them for. They're
right.
warning signs. They're to make us feel good. They serve all sorts of different purposes, but they should not be the keys to action.
Right. Or decisions.
Or decisions, right. And the third one is bring compassion for yourself and your partner and look for what you want rather than what you don't want.
Exactly. It's focusing on the positive rather than focusing on the negative.
Right. And recognizing that, you know, don't beat yourself up for getting angry about something. Just kind of, all right, be compassionate. You know, I feel bad for myself when somebody is eating and they're making mouth noises. It drives me nuts. I know that's my problem. I've mentioned that on the show before. So I can get all...
I'm a quiet eater, by the way, if anybody wants to know.
I can get so aggravated about it. But at some point you have to say, all right, first have compassion for the other person because they're just eating. It's something every single person in this world does, hopefully, unless they're starving, because I know that does exist out in the world. Hopefully they're doing it multiple times per day. So it's very normal stuff. And compassion for me that, all right, I do have, and there's actually a name for people who are really bothered by simple sounds like that. Remember I sent you a link
yes,
a couple months
yes.
ago or
and
so.
And it's not just that. You said there's other sounds too that tend to bug people.
Right, right. Yeah. And some of them do. But so have compassion for yourself that don't beat yourself up over it. Just recognize, yep, it bothers me. I got a problem. But what am I going to dwell on that now for how horrible a person I am for being annoyed by noise? Or can I just do something else?
What a jerk the other guy is because he doesn't realize he's eating loud
right.
or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
So. Having compassion for yourself and having compassion for the other person. And I think a lot of times just that key right there is, and it's very interesting because you have said this to me several times when, you know, I'd be stuck in traffic and I'm trying to get someplace and you would always kind of bring me back to that compassionate place. And it's just a question
because a lot
you
of
have
times,
to ask
like,
yourself.
You're in, let's say you're sitting in traffic and, you know, you can see that there's an accident up ahead and it's easy to jump to that, oh man, that jerk got an accident and is tying things up. But if you can put yourself into that, boy, I'm glad I'm not that person who was in
yes.
that. It was accident, right? Accidents
Hope
happen. It's like
okay.
no one was planning on it. You can think about, boy, that person's day is going a hell of a lot worse than mine because I'm just sitting in traffic. That person may be sitting in traction, you know, pretty soon because they're all banged up or, you know, heaven forbid something even worse has happened there. You know, count your blessings that it's not you in that wreck and that you're just kind of stuck in traffic. So, and that can do a lot for you. You don't necessarily know what happened up there. Was someone a jerk and weaving in and out and they got what they deserved? You have no idea. But dwelling on that negative side only hurts you. And I think just finding that compassionate point of, think of, you know, just frame it and, you know, that poor person, the sun must have gotten in their eyes and now they're, you know, suffering in their car and they're not going to make it to work. Their car may be totaled. They may be going mm-hmm. to the hospital. I'm so glad I'm not that person, but I hope that person's okay. You can go on the rest of your day actually feeling pretty darn good. And that's kind of what we want, right? We want to feel good.
Right.
I'm pretty sure most of the psychologists say there's that whole pleasure and pain principle that we want pleasure and we don't want pain. And yet how often will we sit there and cause pain to ourselves by cursing and moaning about something we have no control over versus go the compassionate route and feel good.
You know, and one of the things around here are the bridges. Sometimes the bridge is up.
Right.
And one of the things that I always say to myself is, I am never going to complain because the bridge is up and I'm late.
Because I'm so happy I live in a place where we have bridges.
Where I have that problem. Right. Yes, I am so happy to live in a place where I have that problem that I might be late to work because the bridge was up.
Right.
You know what? That's perfectly fine with me. You know, bring the sailboats right on through. I don't care. Whatever.
Yep. The only thing better would to be on the sailboat itself.
Exactly. We just need to find friends with sailboats.
That's right.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to end our show for tonight. But again, please make sure that you go out to our Mod Love Radio website. We have a brand new giveaway. I say giveaway. It's more of a video class. It's a video series that I recently did. And it's actually teaching you, if you happen to be somebody who is either thinking about getting into online dating or you're struggling with online dating and you're just not getting the results you want, I have created a video series that I'm giving to you guys for free. So if you go out to modloveradio.com, on the right-hand side, right next to the slideshow that shows you pictures of me and Steve and Ann, you will see a little box where you can put your name and email in there, and I will send you that video series. And it tells you everything you need to do to create, to choose the perfect profile pictures and pictures that people can look through. It's going to tell you how to write your profile so that you're actually writing to the kind of person that you want to attract. And then it's going to tell you how to use the other parts and fill out the other parts of the profile to actually help the site help you. So there's some really cool stuff in there. There's screenshots. I mean, it's not like you're going to have to try to figure it out. I've screenshotted it for you and everything. So go out there if that's something that you're struggling with or you're thinking about going into online dating, go out there and grab those free videos. So
sounds great.
All right. So thanks again for listening so much, guys. And you are listening to
Mod Love.